tell us about SAMAG and what it is that you guys do.
Sure. SAMAG began in 1991, So 25 years ago, over 25 years ago.
Wow.
And all throughout that time, we've been one of the only organisation providing professional development and networking opportunities tailored to the arts sector.
Amazing.
And so we started as a group of people who were sort of business professionals but wanted to share their skills with the arts and to support artists, so accountants, lawyers, that kind of thing. Today we've evolved into a group of about 10 people. We work across the arts sector. We support all art forms. We come from all different art forms, so literature to theatre to visual arts. We help independent artists into small arts orgs, big arts orgs, policy, and we bring in people from outside the sector too.
God, just Wonder Women. That's what
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So there's 10 of us doing amazing stuff.
Wow. Yeah. And across such a hugely diverse community as well, the arts community is one of the most diverse communities I think
yes.
we have here
and
in Sydney.
And so our mission is to share ideas for an inclusive and resilient arts sector. So we really lean into that and we want to strengthen that aspect of the arts.
Yeah, build the community. I love yes. it. Well, I think when we're all helping each other out or we're leaning on each other, I think that that's when people do their best work.
Absolutely.
So how does the gentrification kind of and lockout laws impact the sector? What, you know, this is nearly 4 years down the track now. There has been a lot of conversation around it, but we're kind of starting to see those long-term effects. What are we seeing in our city?
I think one of the things that we have seen and that we are talking about at our event tomorrow evening is this cultural impact that is maybe not foreseen by policymakers who have put in place the lockout laws, which has been, first of all, the impact on the nighttime economy, which has been discussed widely, and there have been lots of panels and discussions around that issue, but also the impact for artists and those who live in areas which are impacted by the lockout laws, because what ends up happening is that where there are lockout laws, that means there are fewer, you know, loud venues and
creative spaces,
and it means that people who want to move into those areas maybe are in higher socioeconomic levels rather than artists who are generally very low paid and one of the lowest paid sectors in the country, and there are statistics around that. So what we're really looking at is the impact of the lockout laws and the link with gentrification. So meaning that gentrification is pushing artists out and not necessarily giving those opportunities for artists that they would have had if, say, for example, lockout laws were in place
and then there's a flip side to that, which is what is the role of the arts in gentrification?
Exactly.
Are they a wave that comes before it as well?
That's right.
Feels like they are a bit of a wave that comes before it, because you see kind of areas be inhabited by really intense and well-loved arts communities, and you see a lot of very interesting arts come through communities, and then everyone thinks that they're really, really cool, and then you see gentrification kind of sweeping through
and so. rents increase
and
your property prices increase. Yeah.
And it just, you see, I guess the problem is then, and please correct me if I'm wrong, artists are forced to shift out of areas where there is no infrastructure for their art, and you see this kind of dissemination and this dispersal of the arts community before it can reestablish itself somewhere else, I guess, and plant those roots and start those kind of seeds for the arts community. It would be just kind of cool if we could stay where we were.
Yeah, but then there's also this entanglement with developers and government who want the artists to kind of make that oncoming development look more appealing.
Yeah.
So there's like the implications.
Have cool live music and cool art spaces, but pay like...
But not too loud and not too late.
Yeah. And pay through the nose for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's that kind of idea of, you know, say, for example, King's Cross, you know, it has a lot of art spaces and a lot of new art forms. So there's a few theatres that are popping up here and there, and they're theatres which were not previously so busy or ingrained in the community in King's Cross, because it was more of a live music and drinking kind of space.
The theatre space at the King's Cross Hotel is fantastic.
It's fabulous, and it's so people are going there who may not otherwise have gone to King's Cross. And in the end, if you're someone who's moving or looking at moving into a space like King's Cross, what's the point? Would you rather move there with you know, live music, loud people on the streets, or would you rather move there when there's, you know, nice theatres to go to and, you know, art galleries, and it's all just a little bit quieter and more gentrified.
Which version of the arts do you want?
Which version of the arts do you want? And that's really,
you can't have one without the other. Exactly. Like, that's just not the way the world works.
Yeah.
You can't let arts flourish, but only in these very specific, defined boxes.
That's right.
And I guess the way a lot of people in our city were looking at it as well were that lockout laws were a response to things that were happening that were terrible, like kids were dying.
Yeah.
So something needed to be done, but I don't know if enough thought has been given to the ramifications of this, which is, I get what SAMAG is talking about.
And it's a cultural issue around the use of alcohol and the way we behave when we're drinking it.
Mm.
And that really needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. So tell us about this event that you guys have got coming up, this discussion. What are we hoping to get out of it?
So it's on tomorrow night at the Australia Council for the Arts at 6 p.m. We have some really amazing panellists, I think, from across the spectrum of views. So we've got Amelia Kaliva from Art Pharmacy, John Graham MP, who's done a lot of work with the live music scene, and Andrew Levins, who is a DJ and has been really involved with Keep Sydney Open, and then Pascal Berry, who is on the SAMAG committee.
And from Blacktown Arts.
And from Blacktown Arts. So he's sort of got that Western Sydney view. And what's really great about that spectrum is that, and which is, we think, different to other panels, because we are completely aware that, you know, there have been so many discussions and panels and everything about the lockout
laws.
Great thinking already. But there's still stuff happening in the space. Like, you know, Keep Sydney Open is a political party now, and it just had, you know, a meeting last week. And there's the Nighttime Economy Committee, which is the City of Sydney is running, you know, that they've been trying to solve all these issues. So there's stuff happening. And we want to talk about what is, you know, updating the art sector and the community, and anyone who wants to come along to this event. We want to talk about that on this panel, but we also want to draw out those issues of gentrification and the link between the lockout laws and the space for the arts, whether there is opportunities, because it does seem like there are opportunities, you know, with the theatre spaces and art galleries and things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of element of the debate, which is like maybe a little bit controversial, because it sort of says, well, there is something that could be positive that's coming out of this policy and the lockout laws for the arts.
Yeah, well, you don't hear that side of the conversation
exactly
a lot or at all.
Yeah,
but I think the policy's here to stay.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
we need to learn to adapt and make our city as vibrant and beautiful and cultural as we can.
Absolutely,
in these spaces that we kind of have to work within the parameters of.
Yeah,
and we don't want the event either to be about preaching to the converted, really.
No.
We're trying to present a more nuanced take of views around there as well, and seeing
fantastic.
Yeah, we were talking before about breathing space for the arts, and if that's what these laws have, some elements of that, well, how is that something we can work with?
Yeah, and we can, I guess, embrace and make happen.
Yeah.
What would you ladies like to see the next 12 months look like for the arts community in Sydney? It's a big question.
A
huge question. But what do you think it would ideally look like?
So, I mean, the role of SAMAG is to create space for these conversations in which we can explore ideas that would make the arts a resilient and inclusive place. So one where when our committee gets together monthly, we talk about emerging issues, hot issues that we're seeing in our art forms, and it's incredible we see resonance between them. Mm. And some of our programming coming up next year is really tapping into that. That's where we get some of our programming ideas, and in conversation with people who come along to our events. We have nibbles, drinks afterwards, and everyone gets together and talks with the panelists. It's really fantastic.
Mm.
So our approach is about understanding who is not in the room and working out how we can get them in, how we can hear that voice. So an art sector that is able to have that element to it. I know that's incredibly hard in a tight, you know, fiscal environment, but that's what we're working towards.
Amazing. Ladies, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thank you so much.